I would like to introduce our speaker today, Sister Florence Jacobson, who is the General President of the Young Women's Mutual Improvement Association of our church. The theme this week is Climb Every Mountain, and in a very real sense, Sister Jacobson has exemplified in her own life the climbing many mountains. She has been a homemaker, a wife of three fine sons, one of whom is in the mission field now, a loyal, devoted wife to her husband, and the two of them presided over the Eastern States Mission, she serving as the mission mother for a period of 4 years. Immediately following her release from that mission, she was called to the general board of the Young Women's MIA, and in 1961 called as the general president of this organization, which has presently an enrollment of 250,000 women throughout the world. She's very active in civic affairs. She's an expert interior decorator, a dress designer. She's a homemaking graduate from the University of Utah. I just asked her which team she yelled for last Saturday, and she said she had no reason to yell. Sister Jacobson is a granddaughter of President Heber J. Grant and a niece of President Joseph Fielding Smith. She is undoubtedly one of the great women in our church, a remarkable woman. We're very, very honored to have her on our campus today and to have the privilege to hear from her now.
Thank you very much, Brother Cavey. This is the third time I have been asked to come and speak to this very august group. Luckily for both of us, the previous two times, I had a previous commitment which superseded the invitation to be here. But this time, as I had no positive excuse, when Brother Covey asked me, I felt just a little bit as I did when I was asked to come into the office of President David O. McKay a little more than 5 years ago. Not knowing what was going to happen, I innocently walked into his office at his invitation. And as he sat me behind his desk in his chair and said to me, "Sister Jacobson, we want you to be the general president of the YWMIA," in my shock and incoherence, I said, "Oh, President McKay, do you know what you're doing?" And with that ever-present twinkle in his eye, he smiled and said, "I usually do." And so, Brother Covey, I just wondered if you knew what you were doing today, asking me to be here, and I hope you usually do, because I really would like to say something to this wonderful group assembled here. In my own rambly way, I do have something I would like to say to you, something that is close to my heart, and I hope will be close to yours. I have a marvelous heritage. I have two presidents of the church as my grandfathers, President Joseph F. Smith and President Heber J. Grant. I have the most wonderful parents that ever lived. One of eight children, a large, marvelous family. And I was taught the gospel from my childhood, from my babyhood. But this heritage I inherited is not truly mine until I earn it myself. And this is what I want to talk to you about today, is your heritage, that which comes to you by descent from your forebears, from those who have gone before you, and which you have inherited through no fault of your own or by any of your own works. This will not be yours until you have earned your heritage. Well, all of the things that you inherited, your size and shape, the color of your hair and eyes, your parents, your religion, the nationality which you bear, all of this came to you, and you had nothing to do with it. But now you come to a point in your lives where you do have something to do with what you have and what you have inherited. Each generation should improve on the previous generation and pass on a more immense, great, inspirational, and positive heritage than was received. It's amazing to know that those who came on the Mayflower many, many years ago were less than 5 feet in average height. And when you visit Plymouth and see the size bed that those people slept in, it almost looks like a child's bed. And yet, from that small beginning, we are having, as you can see about you, giants, not only in stature, but in mentality. Well, some of the mountains you're going to have to climb in order to earn the heritage which is yours and make it truly yours, and in order to pass it on to another generation a little finer and a little better than when you received it, are many. And I'm sure that many of you, as you go to school, feel that things of this type you will take care of in the future. Right now, you're involved in studying, getting an education, and you do not have too much time for other things. But today, I want to talk to you about time. Your time and what you do with it while you're a student. I would like to evaluate how you use your time. First of all, I would wish that you would take a piece of paper and sit down and write on it my goals at the top. And then, under that, the goals for this particular year you wish to accomplish. The goals for the next year and the next. And if you can, project it into a 25-year period. Exactly where do you want to be and what do you want to be 25 years from now, and how are you going about reaching those goals, and how will you use that time allotted to you to accomplish these things which are in your heart today? I remember Brother Bill Reeder, a sociologist at Cornell University, when we were in the East, living in the East, who asked this of his students after he had been teaching them a period of 6 months. What is your goal? And many of them were puzzled, attending school, preparing for a vocation with no goal in mind. Those of you who will follow this advice or suggestion can map for themselves a pattern of life. And you can do something right now about your time. First of all, I would hope that you would include some time for studying. And you better, if you're going to stay here. And some time for reading outside of the regular required studying for the curriculum. I would hope that you would allocate some time for play and recreation and some time to develop your own family relationships, and along with this, friendships, and your relationship to authority, the authority around you. I would hope that you would develop or allocate some time for personal physical development, your personal appearance, personal improvement, and also time for religious affiliation and worship, for leadership experiences, for social experiences, and some time for daydreaming. This is not wasted time to daydream. These are minutes that can count also. Now, first of all, I would like to talk just a moment about time for studying and reading. It's so easy to come to school and get by, do as much studying as is necessary to get by. I remember many, many missionaries who have done this in the mission field. And I have seen their faces as they have left our mission home to return to school. And one of them expressed it very beautifully when he said, Sister Jacobson, I have only one regret, that I didn't study harder. Now I've got to go home and face those marks I left behind me. If I could just change my name and start over again, I feel that I could really accomplish something. But here I am tied to my former record. And this is true of all of us. We're tied to our former record. But now, apart from your regular studying, I would hope that the reading you do would be worthwhile reading. Our so-called national periodicals are so filled with filth and trash, things which are degrading, that it is a very difficult thing to decide that which is good and that which is bad. It is becoming so prevalent, the problem is not becoming less, but greater. But I would like to give you a little criteria to follow in all of your reading. President Clark gave it to me, President J. Reuben Clark, when he visited our mission home at one time. One of the missionaries asked President Clark if he had read a particular article in a magazine, a recent magazine, and he said, I only read that which I want to remember forever. A very, very good pattern to follow. Now I'd like to suggest that after the studying and reading time, that you use some time to play and enjoy some recreational experiences. You have wonderful opportunities here on this campus, but when you're off the campus and you're out in life and you've left this academic atmosphere, you're going to have to make some decisions about what kind of entertainment you're going to indulge in. The motion pictures today should be boycotted, most of them. Very, very few are worthy of the time that it takes to see them. You are going to have to make some decisions and some evaluations as to what will drag you down or build you up. And let that be the criteria for deciding what kind of entertainment you are going to indulge in. Now I'd like to suggest that you take time for developing your family relationships. Many of you have the most holy and spiritual relationship with your parents and your brothers and sisters, and others of you have not had it quite so good. And maybe it's a little difficult to be as enthusiastic about your family relationship as the Lord has asked you to be, to honor your mother and your father. But because they gave you birth, you must honor them, and you can do something about that relationship. And you can prepare yourself and earn the heritage which is yours by passing on a better heritage if the relationship has not been to your liking. It is up to you. You are a responsible, thinking individual, and you can make the decisions and plan your life. You can plan a better future, and the future planning can be your own family in your goals, what you want to achieve as a bridegroom, a husband, a father, yes, and even a grandfather. Because it won't be very many years from now that you will be that misunderstood parent that doesn't quite understand exactly what your children are saying to you. And you must be prepared to understand and listen. You must choose wisely your marriage partner, because the greater part of your eternal life will be spent as a marriage partner. This takes great planning. It takes great decisions. And it can be a most marvelous heritage that you earn, you plan, and you pass on. I think the happiest people I've ever known are the mothers and fathers of large families. And plan a large family. Have this part of your planning. I myself can vouch for this. Though we did not have the number of children we would have loved to have, I came from a large family, and I can tell you what a happy experience it is, and I'm sure many of you can. And I remember my grandfather Grant with his 10 daughters in his old age, with them hovering around him, taking care of him. And then I contrast it with my little old Aunt Polly, 95 years of age, one child who had preceded her in death. And when we'd pick her up and take her for a ride, she'd say, "Oh, the Lord's forgotten me." And the Lord seemed like he had forgotten her. But with a large family, how different her life would have been, and she would have been loved and remembered. You may not think about this when you're involved in financial difficulties or circumstances trying to take care of a large family. But if you live the principles of the gospel as you have been taught to, the Lord will help you. And your family will be the crown for which you will ever be grateful. Now you have some relationship with your fellow students. Something that you can do something about right now, a heritage that you must earn. And all of your relationships should not be romantic. They should be friendships. All of your dates should not be romantic dates. They should be dates of friendships where you develop concern for each other, loyalty, common interests, and have lasting friendships, but which will last throughout your life. And from among these friendships, you will find your marriage partner. Now, it's a natural thing for those of the opposite sex to want to be together and associate together. But our association, is bounded by laws of God. Don't ever commit a sin against your own bodies. You all have had instructions and teachings which will help you avoid such situations. And I don't care whether Sweden or any other nation on the earth promotes or teaches sexual promiscuity. It is wrong and evil. And the Lord has told us to avoid it as a plague. One other relationship which I would like to call your attention is that of your relationship to authority. Does authority just naturally make you rebel? Or do you accept and obey? This is something you can learn right now, and it is a heritage which you must earn. It's a mountain you must climb. In order to obey the laws of God, you must obey authority. One of the sweet things that we received the other day from our son who is on a mission in Japan, a letter, something we always look forward to. And in it he said, "Mom and Dad, the longer I'm on my mission, the smarter I know you are." Kind of makes a parent feel good. You've been trying to tell him how smart you are for years. And all of a sudden he's finding out without your even telling him. And then I remember what Chauncey Depew said. "When I was young, I was anxious to display my knowledge and intelligence. But as I grew older, I took every opportunity to hide my ignorance." Those in authority over you have usually had more experience than you have, and this is why they are in positions of authority. And they're thinking only of your welfare and helping you get over some of the rough spots in life, giving you some directions to help you make the proper decisions. They're not trying to curtail or make unhappy or make arbitrary decisions. They have you in mind, and they're remembering their experiences when they give you direction and instruction. And this is what the Lord has done. Being all wise and having experienced anything that we could have experienced, He knows what we are going through and the kind of directions we need. Now I would like to talk to you for a moment about taking time for your personal appearance. I know some of us are tall and some are short and some are a little wider, and some of us would like to do something about the shape of our nose. And I've always wanted to do this. I inherited my grandfather Grant's nose, and it's taken me a long time to be proud of it. Glasses have helped shorten it a little. But there are things you can do. And if you will evaluate your best points as far as your personal appearance is concerned, and emphasize those, you will be a happier person. You will be in love with yourself, where sometimes you kind of are a little unhappy. Study how you look. Study yourself in the mirror. And this goes for the boys as well as the girls. I've often thought if I could take a motion picture of some of the girls as they have walked down the street and then shown it to them, that they would certainly change their habits of appearance. Look at the total picture and take time to evaluate what you want to look like, and then try and look like that. Remember, good fashion designers say that which looks good on you is fashionable. And don't be drawn into buying the high fashion today, which is the low fashion tomorrow, and has to be discarded. But buy something basic that will last years and years. Earn the heritage of looking the part of a fine, upstanding member of the church, a member of this student body, and then pass this heritage on to those for whom you someday will be responsible. Take time for your religious affiliation and worship and participation in the church. Here you will get leadership helps. Here you will have opportunities to learn, develop, grow, succeed. The church is designed to bring to you in your life everything that is worthwhile and the greatest happiness that is possible for men. And take time to dream. Look at the sunset, a baby's smile, the stars, the sun, the moon, snow on Mount Timpanogos. Look about you at flowers, the beautiful autumn leaves. All of these things are free, but they make life very much worth living and are part of our dreams and aspirations. Appreciate the things that are around you. Well, earning our heritage is the same mountain to climb for every one of us, because it is not truly ours until we have earned it ourselves. And there is no royal road for royalty, nor a road just for the peasants. There is only one road for everyone to travel in this life. Now I would like to ask those of you who are contemplating taking this sheet of paper and writing your goals on the top to turn it over and write at the top of the other side a list that says, things I will never do. And once you have made the commitment that you will not do these things, the decision has already been made so that when you are faced with these things, you will be able to avoid being complicated in the tangled web. Each one of you will have different things which you would like to avoid in your lives. Some of them might be, I will never be dishonest. I will never dishonor my body. I will never be immoral. I will not be immodest. I will not cheat the Lord of an honest tithe. I will not serve the Lord grudgingly. When you commit yourself, you have made a great step forward. We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous, and in doing good to all men. Indeed, we may say we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things, we hope all things, we have endured many things. We hope to be able to endure all things. If there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report, we seek after these things. And this is your heritage for you to earn. It is a mountain for you to climb. And I pray that our Heavenly Father will bless you, that you will be able to wisely use your time, set your goals, commit yourself to the things you will not do, and develop a heritage of your own worthy of passing on to a generation unborn. I ask this in the name of our Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.